Musician and songwriter Ike Turner died Wednesday. He was 76.
You know, every now and then I think you might like to hear something from us. Nice and easy. But there's just one thing, you see. We never ever do nothing nice and easy. We always do it nice and rough. But we're gonna take the beginning of this song and do it easy. But then we're gonna do the finish rough. It's the way we do Proud Mary. Rolling on the river. Listen to the story now. Left a good job in the city.
Turner used to be most famous for his musical partnership with his wife, Tina Turner. Then he became famous for having beaten her after his portrayal in the movie What's Love Got to Do With It, based on Tina Turner's memoir. But in the early days of rock and roll, he had a track record as a songwriter, talent finder, and record producer for small southern rhythm and blues labels, doing sessions with such now legendary figures as B.B. King and Howling Wolf. As the leader of his own rhythm and blues act, he wrote and arranged the songs, played piano and guitar, and choreographed the steps. Turner did time on drug charges in the early 90s. Then he made a comeback, which was jump-started with the success of Salt-N-Pepa's recording of Shoop Shoop, based on Turner's song I'm Blue. Ike Turner's place in the history of rock and roll begins with the record some critics consider the first rock and roll record ever made, Rocket 88. Turner co-wrote the song and played piano. The singer, Jackie Brenston, was the horn player in Turner's band. Terry spoke with Ike Turner in 1996 and asked him about the story behind that song.
Well, we was on our way to, we stopped by where B.B. King was playing that down in Mississippi, and he made an appointment with Sam Phillips at Sun Recording Studio in Memphis. And we didn't have any original tunes. All we was doing was covers on the radio at that time. And he asked us to bring some original tunes, and I told him, okay, and we didn't have any. And so anyway, on the way up there, we was counting cars, like how many Fords should we see, how many this cars we see. You know, we make bets on, I see more Fords than you do Plymouths and stuff like that. And so anyway, the Rocket 88, they were new at that time. I think they came out in 49 or 50, somewhere back in there. But anyway, we was counting cars. So finally, Jackie said, hey, man, let's do one about that fast car. I said, okay. And so we started writing about the Rocket 88.
You women have heard of jalopies, you've heard the noise they make, but let me introduce my new Rocket 88. Yes, it's straight, just one way. Everybody likes my Rocket 88. Baby, we'll ride in style, moving all along. Smart and designed, black convertible top, and the gals don't mind. Sporting with me, riding all around town for joy. Blow your horn, Raymond, blow!
Now, the vocal on Rocket 88 is done by Jackie Brenston.
By Jackie Brenston, yeah. He was the baritone player.
Did you want to sing?
Me? No. I've never liked to sing. Even now, I do it on stage, but I don't like to. I like to teach other singers to sing and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Tell us what a show featuring Ike Turner's Rhythm Kings would have been like in the 1950s, in the days before Tina Turner was part of the group.
Well, what we were doing, we were just basically, we did everything that was hot on the radio, and then we would do the songs that we were, you know, the recording that we were doing, basically like that.
Well, how did you discover Tina Turner and add her to your review?
My drummer was going with this girl named Aline Bullock, which is Tina Turner's sister. And we were playing, like, what, 13 jobs around St. Louis a week. And we had a big following of women in those days. And so Tina's sister, Aline, she kept telling me to, why didn't I let her sister sing? Because there were some people we would call up on stage as guests to sing. And so anyway, I never would call her. So finally one night while we were playing, my drummer, I didn't see him. I was up there just sitting down playing the organ on a break. And then all at once I heard this voice coming out of the speakers, and that was Tina. And I said, dog, that girl can sing, can't she? So, she, you know, she had a pretty, she had a good voice, you know. But, you know, I didn't care that much about women's voices because then I don't know what women, if any, that they had back in the time doing R&B. Because Tina, at that time, I started her to singing songs that Ray Charles would sing or whatever man that was popular, not Jackie Wilson. I don't think he was out then. I would have her singing what they would sing. And so, anyway, I had this guy named Art Lasseter that was staying at my house over in East St. Louis. And so Art, I wrote a song for Art Lasseter. And so I had the studio booked for one day the following weekend. He didn't show up at the recording studio, long story short. And Tina was sitting there every night when I was teaching him the words to the song and teaching the girls the background. And the song was A Fool in Love. And so when he didn't show up at the studio, and we had waited there about an hour, hour and a half, and I was paying, I think it was $25 an hour then, which was a lot of money in those days. I think it was 1960. Tina said, well, I know the words. You want me to sing it, and when you find him, then you put him on it? And so I went and asked the engineer. He said he could do it because I think then we only had two tracks. And this guy, all he did was commercials, so nobody never streamed over his microphones and things. He was really ticky about his equipment. And so this song, A Fool in Love, if you notice on there, when Tina holler, hey, 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 wow, when she holler like that, man, he hit the table, said, God damn it, don't holler on my microphone, you know, because he had never heard nobody holler like that on a microphone before, you know, and he stopped the machine, and he pitched it, you know, so anyway. She hollered again, but he put her way back in the corner from the microphone, so when she screamed, it wouldn't peg his needles or what. I don't know if they had limiters then or not.
All right, well, let's hear the record, recorded in 1960. This is Fool in Love.
Oh, there's something on my mind. Won't somebody please, please tell me what's wrong? You're just a fool, you know you're in love.
Now, that record was released under the name Ike and Tina Turner. Mm-hmm. And Tina's real name was Annie Mae Bullock, and you were not yet married when you changed
her name. No, her name is Martha Nell Bullock.
What is it?
Her name is Martha Nell Bullock.
Oh, okay. Why did you change her name to Tina, and why did you make it Tina Turner before you were even married?
Before we were married, that's something we discussed some other time, but this marriage stuff. But anyway, after we recorded the record, Tina was gone with the saxophone player in my band named Raymond Hill. Raymond and I, from a kid, as I told you, when we was in school, he was in the group with me, blowing saxophone in the band. And so anyway, she got pregnant by Raymond, and I knew that as soon as I come up with a hit record on her, that he was going to come back and snatch her. And so what I did, I made up the name. I sat down and wrote down different names like Sheila. Well, I'm gonna tell you in the end, like where this type name came from. I was thinking more jungle, like Tarzan and stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
My head was picturing this type thing. This is why later on, Tina had the wig on, and her and the Icats, they real rough on stage. And the show I have now is the same thing. It's like a lot of real rough dancing. It's more jungle, wild, raw. Well, what it was, when I was a kid, there was a white lady, a blonde lady that used to swing through the jungle. Her name was Nayoka. I don't know if you ever heard of her, but if you go look at some of the real old movies, you'll find her. Her name is Nayoka. She do just what Tarzan do. She swing through the jungle and fight lions and things like that. And, man, I used to be so in love with this woman. And I used to go sit in the front seat of the movie and try to look up on that little thing she had on. She had a little tiger skin, and I would be trying to peep under there, look, you know. But anyway, I was in love with this woman. I made Tina subconsciously. I wasn't aware that this was what I was doing. I made Tina the woman that I was in love with in my childhood.
And but I don't get the way where the name Tina fits in.
Okay, Nayoka. was the woman's name, yeah. Nayoka. Okay, so I sat down and I wrote down names like Sheila, because that sounded like jungle to me. Tina sounded like jungle to me. And so I just made the name up Tina.
Tina sounds like jungle to you. Okay.
Yeah, to me. Yeah, I don't know what it sounds like to you.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Let's get back to Terry's conversation with Ike Turner, recorded in 1996. When we left off, Terry was asking Ike Turner why Tina recorded under his name.
So, but she had the name Tina Turner before you were married.
Well, we won't get into this marriage. Yeah. I said one time.
Go ahead.
We never was married in the first place, even until today.
Oh.
Okay, so if you're going by what you saw in the movie, I never saw the movie, but the movie was a lie. So back to the records now.
Wait, you never saw the movie?
Huh?
You never saw the movie?
No.
Why not? Were you?
Because I don't know. I just when I read in People magazine that she said that she hated that movie and that guy, whatever the guy's name that produced the movie, he said that he wasn't cutting them. He didn't do that movie for Tina. He did it for Walt Disney and. And I knew it was real bad. And then people started telling me, man, wait till this movie come out. It's going to really ruin you, you know, the way they portrayed you. Even Larry Fishburne told me that. And he told me that I would appreciate what he did to it to make it better than the way they had it. And so everybody told me about it. And then people started thinking that movie was me.
Well, another question about the movie and also about Tina Turner's memoir. In her memoir, I mean, she also portrays you as having abused her during the years that you were together.
Well, you know, today, I'll say this. Today, they call everything abuse. If you holler at your wife, if you discipline your kids, you holler at them. If you dominate and tell your kid, no, don't you go out that door. That's child abuse. And if you spank him and set him down or something, somebody next door going to call the police and put you in jail for child abuse. So, you know, on that subject, I kind of stay away from that because I'll say this. I've never, I'm very proud of the way that I was that I raised my kids. We raised four kids, and I don't feel I've ever, I've been dominating because I don't compromise music at all. But as far as like for music is concerned, when I say I want something one way, I was very dominating and stuff like that. But as far as abusing my family, abusing her, and stuff like that, sure, I have slapped her. She have slapped me. We just live normal people lives, but by me being having the notoriety that I have, it's been totally exaggerated, you know. And so I stopped defending myself against it. And so anyway, everything's fine now.
The group Salt and Pepper,
yeah,
had a hit, the Shoop Shoop song. Yeah. That was based, I think, on one of your songs. Is that right?
Yes, that's based on. I'm Blue, the Gong Gong song by the Ikettes I did in 1961.
I don't have a copy of that. Would you sing a few bars of your song?
I'm blue, bay, doo, bay, shoe, bay, doo, bay, doo, bay, blue. Hey, it would like that. You don't remember that song? Or you was Gong Gong. How old are you? That's the wrong thing. That's the lady, huh? Okay, this was out in 1961. It was a real big hit for the Ikettes. And Salt and Pepper, they sampled, actually, that's the Ikettes and that you hear on that record in the part when they said, you make me wanna shoot, shoot, baby, doop, that's us on there. I hope they do some more of my records. So far, I got like $500,000 from them. You know, I hope somebody else do it. Okay.
Ike Turner speaking with Terry Gross in 1996. He died this week at the age of 76. And now, before the show ends, there's something Terry wants to say. So here she is.
Thanks, David. Actually, I'm here to do something that I don't want to do, which is to say goodbye to one of Fresh Air's producers, the producer of Fresh Air Weekend, Ian Chillag. The good news is that he has a great new job in New York at the new NPR program, the Bryant Park Project. The bad news? Well, there's so much about him we're going to miss. His great writing, his always creative production style, his sense of humor, and just the pleasure of working with him. He's incredible. No matter how hard he worked on the show, he'd still have energy to run and win medals and marathons. On the bright side, maybe I'll feel less out of shape after he leaves. Well, we wish him good luck, but with his talent, he doesn't really need to rely on luck. But speaking of luck, our colleagues at the Bryant Park Project are really lucky to have him. Congratulations, Ian. We'll be looking for your work on the air, on the internet, and on the page. David, I think I need a moment of reflection. Why don't you do the close credits?
Fresh Air is produced by Danny Miller, Amy Sallet, Phyllis Myers, Monique Nazareth, Joan Tuohy-Westman, Roberta Sharrock, Dorothy Farabee, Patty Leswing, Sam Brigger, Jonathan Menhivar, and, I'll miss saying this, Ian Chillog. One of Ian's favorite performers is Johnny Cash, so we'll let him have the last word. For Terry Gross, I'm David Bianculli.